The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Well, hello there, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Confused Breakfast Podcast. Do you remember the pure joy of a trip to the video rental store as a kid?
Yeah.
The excitement of walking down the aisles, browsing the names of the artwork, and finally picking out the movie you were going to take home with you.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, it's hard to beat the ease of the modern era and streaming platforms where you don't even have to leave your house, but there was something truly special about making that trip, picking a movie out by hand, and smiling in the warm, basking glow of the sun as you exited the Blockbuster in slow motion.
Mm.
On this podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from that magical era to see if they still move us the way they did as kids. I'm your host, Mike Schulte. Joining me, as always, Sean the Pawn and AJ the Baby. How the heck are you guys?
Hey, hey, baby.
Hey, hey,
yo.
What's up? We're doing it.
We're here. Just got out of a five-year stint. Got out early, feeling pretty good, felt the breeze in my hair, and it's still Hubie days.
I said Hobie days.
I don't even know.
No one cares.
Nobody cares.
They're like, oh, is there going to be food? Okay, cool.
I'll be there.
You think there's a local cover band at 6 o'clock? I'll be there.
Will there be vendors?
How many acoustic acts are there going to be?
Oh, at least two.
Sounds better than prison. Sounds better than prison.
Well, fellas, on today's episode, we discuss the final movie of our month-long May of Bay Uncaged series.
Oh, man.
A movie with a total body count of 43.
Nice.
Which, believe it or not, was nominated for 2 Academy Awards.
Sure was.
Jesus.
Part of the holy trinity of Nick Cage action films. One of 2 hijacked airplane movies released within 2 months of each other. We're, of course, talking about 1997's Con Air.
Well, damn dang it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another nostalgic journey to the past with the Confused Breakfast. Sit back, relax, and enjoy wherever you are in the world. Take it away, boys.
Thank you.
Well, if you are new to this podcast, welcome.
Hello.
We review these movies scene by scene with a modern eye, so we're going to go through Con Air with a modern eye, but we got to talk nostalgically first to be able to strip it away. So we got to know the first time you saw this movie, what your rating was. Sean, what do you got, man?
First time I saw this movie, I believe it was on TV, probably a TNT, probably a TBS, somewhere on there. And I loved it. It was my dad. It was like a dad movie for me. Like me and my dad would watch this and just have a good time. Never thought, you know, that it was funny, or never thought that it was like corny or anything like that. It was just a good action movie.
Good.
And then I would watch it with my buddy Jordan, who I usually watch these movies with, and
we need to invite Jordan on the
might
show
because
it seems like every day you're like me and Jordan.
All these late 90s 2000s movies. It was him and I. Loved it. I'm going to give this a
7.78. 7.78 for Sean. AJ, what about you, man?
I think it's a very similar vein here. It was on TV, and I feel like at some point either like TNT or somebody just did a stint of Nick Cage movies, because I feel like I remember all of the Gone in 60 Seconds, you know, stingers. Let's ride. Go right into this. And then they add in the thing when he winks. Ding. His hair's blowing in the wind and all that stuff. Put the bunny back, you know, that kind of stuff. It's all that. I remember it. And I remember like TNT or something, USA, you know, network, something along those lines. And I remember never seeing the first 25, 30 minutes
of
this movie.
We're back at it, huh?
Yeah. Oh, dude, I never caught the first few minutes of this movie.
How'd they get on that plane? I don't know.
I just remember just completely believing. Now, here's the thing. We'll get to it. But you don't need about the first 20 minutes of this movie. Turns out. Super weird, I know. But that all being said, I just remember thinking like, nah, it's fine. Whatever. I'm going to give it a 6.1.
6.1 nostalgically for AJ. I have a crazy story about the first time I saw this. So I was on my couch and I had to pause it halfway through to go get my daughter who was crying because this was the first time I've ever seen Con Air.
Damn you.
Whoa.
First time I've ever seen Con Air. I don't know why. Nick Cage never did it for me back in the day.
But he's doing it for you now.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So for some reason, I avoided a lot of Nick Cage movies. And like, just it just sounded dumb. I was like, Con Air. Why watch Con Air when you watch Air Force One?
Yeah.
So I avoided this one. So I'm an NA. But taking both of your ratings, that is going to be a 6.94 nostalgically. Not too bad.
69.
Not too good. That's going to say nostalgically that Predator was slightly better than this movie and that Ghostbusters was slightly worse.
Huh.
Nostalgically.
Whoa.
Nostalgically. Wow. But you know what we do? We strip it away.
Yeah.
This doesn't matter. We have to talk about it so that we can never talk about it again.
There you go.
Please and thank you.
So we'll never refer to that nostalgic rating ever again. But we got to talk about it modern day. So we got to learn the pertinent, important details of the movie. Sean, it's your job. Let's hear it, man.
Let's go. Produced by Jonathan Hensley, Jim Koff, and Jerry Bruckheimer. Guys, I don't know if this month should have been called May of Bayonne Cage or really what this month should have been called is Breaking Our Bruckheimer Hymen.
Yeah.
Written by Scott Rosenberg. He's back for a second consecutive time. Cinematographer by David Tattersall. Music by Trevor Rabin. He's back another consecutive time. And Mark Mancini. Edited by Chris Lebenzin, Steve Merkovich, and Glenn Scantlebury. Directed by Simon West. Cast. Cole Meany. McKelty Williamson, Nick Chunland. We already went through this.
Yeah, we did.
Nick Chunland, Renoli Santiago, MC Gainey, Monica Potter, Ving Rhames, Brendan Kelly, Danny Trejo, Rachel Tikotin, Steve Easton, Dave Chappelle, John Cusack, John Malkovich, Nick Cage, and did he take the top spot? Steve Buscemi.
We'll talk about it.
Steve Buscemi.
We'll talk about it.
Con Air was kind of based off of a real story, really only being based off of actual planes called the Justice Prisoner and Alien Transportation System, which were planes designed to transport inmates that were particularly dangerous and unhinged. Willem Dafoe, Gary Oldman, and Mickey Rourke were considered for the role of Cyrus the Virus. Gary Oldman did a different one. He did a different movie. Charlie Sheen and Robert De Niro Jr. Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr. were considered for Vincent, the role of John Cusack took.
John Q.
Tom Cruise, Johnny Depp, Brad Pitt, Bruce Willis, and Keanu Reeves were all considered for Cameron and Poe. It's a who's who of that
it
time.
It is. Well, it's interesting to me, and we'll get into it, Sean, that like, those actors are all better than Nicolas Cage in theory, but like that is the Nicolas Cage thing though, right? Is like, can these people actually deliver a performance like this?
Yeah.
Like you, would you rather see Brad Pitt in the role? It's like, yeah, he might do a better job, but would it have worked?
I think if you're going for the Nicolas Cage route, the only other person that can maybe do it is Keanu Reeves, because why do we like him? Why do we like him?
I don't know.
Keanu Reeves as Cameron Poe, I would have bought 100%.
That would have been
awesome. Really
would
have. And especially against John, like playing against John Cusack and everything in this. I mean, yeah, I totally would have bought that.
Why not? Nick Cage was given the script for Con Air while on set for The Rock. 3 days after reading it, he called Jerry Bruckheimer and said he wanted to do the film.
I want to do it.
I want it. Give me
it.
I'm in. Con Air opened wide in theaters on June 6, 1997, and on a budget of $75 million, the film would go on to make $224 million at the box office and earn 2 Oscar nominations for Best Sound and Best Original Song.
Shut the fuck up.
This way, wait.
Yeah.
That was an original song
written for the movie.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we got things to talk about.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Before we can fully get to that, though, we got some housekeeping. We need your help. This podcast has been pretty much made possible by the fans, but we have more demands. We're so sorry. This is a free podcast, but we ask small things in return. Number one, we know that you, like you and your brother, you and your dad, you and your mom, you and your best buddy, we know you watch this movie and we know you love it and we know you're so excited to hear what we have to say about it. So share it. Hit the little share icon on your podcast app. It's already open right now. Yeah. Send it to them in a text message. Go, you got to hear these guys. Sharing is caring. And please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. If you don't know what Patreon it is, you can make a small monthly donation directly to us in return for this free content that we put out. And we not only you help us fund, but we also give you things in return. We give you weekly bonus audio content that you get to listen to that no one else gets to hear. You get to vote on upcoming movies. You get a private Discord channel. There's so much that you get in return for your small monthly donation of sponsoring this podcast. So we really hope you will check it out. It's what fuels us. Patreon.com/confusedbreakfast.
Thank you all who are on there right now. Yes. Appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. Up next, we got the AJs. He does the research for us, gives us ratings and reviews of critics and fans alike. What do you got, man?
Well, I think you end up putting it somewhere between what, cockroaches and that little white stuff on the side of your mouth when you're thirsty. The tomato meter.
Gross.
58% right there.
Yeah.
Right there. 58% of the tomato kinda meter. That is middle. A splat.
Of all the movies we've done, that is not as highly ranked as The Monster Squad, but better than Fast and the Furious is where the critics feel that is.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
How is it that much better than Gone in 60 Seconds?
Critically, you think about that. What was Gone in 60 Seconds? 25.
They think it's more than twice as good.
They do.
Over twice as good.
They were wow, this is great.
In
this
theory, it is, but...
Wow.
It just doesn't make sense that Gone in 60 Seconds.
It makes sense for fans. Yeah. I don't feel like it makes sense for critics.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
This is 75% audience, whereas Gone 60 Seconds was 77.
Okay, so there you go.
75%. IMDb is 6.9.
6.9 is bottom 25. That is, as we talked about, that is just below the 7, which means it's not that good of a
seven
movie.
7 is technically a movie. 6.9 is just fucking garbage.
7.1 masterpiece.
Yeah.
Masterpiece. 6.9.9. Absolute trash fire.
Of all the movies we've done.
But it had Tom Cruise in it.
Of all the movies we've done, that ties with The Burbs, Hocus Pocus, and The Cutting Edge. For fans. Fans believe that those are the same.
Correct.
Come on now.
All right. Well, some critical reviews here. The Dallas Observer, Andy Klein gave it a 20 out of 100. That's 2 out of 10. While Tyro director Simon West fills Con Air with all the slam bang action and well-honed wisecracks that were the more positive those were the more positive qualities of its predecessors. The film brims even more with all their worst qualities.
Slam bang action, though.
He's got that slam bang action.
Took a little from Roger.
A little bit from that Rajib. Speaking of which.
Oh, yeah.
He did say 75 out of 100 Chicago nice. Sun-Times. Roger Ebert, he called this. He said, this is a movie that knows it is absurd and does little to deny it.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I'm in.
All good. 80 out of 100. Lisa Alspector at Reader, because at Reader they watch movies. Director Simon West hits just the right note between self-conscious silliness and real dramatic intensity in this 1997 action thriller, which uses typecast actors to make the characters' one-liners and predictable behavior resonate.
Okay.
Fair enough. All right. How about we bounce down to some of the bottom of the barrel when it comes to fans. This is just simply titled, Oh God. 1 out of 10.
So this could mean they're really happy right now.
We don't know.
Or, because I say Oh God a lot when I'm...
And you would think 1 out of 10 would be a dead giveaway.
Oh yeah, right.
But this is IMDb.
Oh man.
So...
Oh God.
David Rochdale said, Nick Cage is in it. Need I say more?
No.
Oh, I do. No. Okay. Possibly one of the worst films I've seen. The only good thing about this film is Angela Featherstone is in it.
Wow. Wait,
that's where we went.
Who's Angela Featherstone?
I believe, wasn't that his girlfriend?
She is. I think she's the girlfriend in Wedding Singer.
Is it the short haired girl, like, yeah. John Cusack?
Yeah, I believe that's her
in this one.
And she's also the what's her name? And
he does.
Hey, Linda, you
that.
A bitch?
Yeah.
That's okay. Never
that's
mind.
A deep.
We're good.
He likes her a lot.
He really likes her.
Big fan. How about another 1 out of 10 here? Quadrophenia 69524.
Wow, I think you've had this person on
I
before.
Feel like we have. I feel 69. Like we have. 69524, 2022, said 1 out of 10, dumb air.
What did see if it spin? Well, you could have just been like, you could have been like the pros and cons. Oh. You could have just like made that pun instead.
Pro air.
Pros and con air.
More like con air.
Pro air. More like con air.
That was real close.
More like
bad
air.
Spoilers. All right, I gotta breathe for this one. Here it comes. Warning, spoilers. So I thought this film was a bit meh. Nicolas Cage is discharged from the army and meets his partner in a bar for a drink. When there's some drunk wants to make out with his wife, when she turns down his advances, he tries to fight Nicolas Cage outdoors, but Nicolas Cage is a kung fu master and kills the guy when he pulls a knife and ends up in jail for 7 years. Then he is released and ends up in a plane with loads of cons whom are lifers, and they plot to hijack a plane that gets a bit weird when they pick up a man called Carolyn Green who was in a cage, but when they take the restraints off, he is just looks like any other guy. They don't get it at all.
So people who are tuning into our episode just to hear us talk about Con Air, who haven't seen Con Air, now they're caught up.
Now you get it.
Beautiful.
How did that end? How did you end that?
Who is in a cage, but when they take the restraints off, he just looks like any other guy, don't they all? Because the only punctuation is a question mark at the end. That was one long question.
Wait, is that it?
That's it.
Wow.
We're done.
Wow.
With that one.
People are real smart, you know, very smart.
And we're out.
Let's end on a positive note. Positive on IMDb is a 7 out of 10. Afterthoughts. Free Thinking World in 2023, May 3rd, 2023. He's in on this May Uncaged. Really fun action thriller. It had to go down half a star due to Nicolas Cage's horrible Southern accent, though. I had the same problem when Nicolas Cage played in the two Ghost Rider films. I was very surprised by the star-studded cast, though, with a cast including the likes of Nicolas Cage, John Malkovich, Rin Rames, Steve Buscemi, Danny Trejo, John Cusack, and Dave Chappelle, of all people. Still, overall, a fun, over-the-top type action film. I think this will definitely be in my rotation of heavily rewatched action films. I just wish we had more time with Steve Buscemi's character, though. I thought his character arc was a little confusing.
Yeah. Okay. Right on.
I like it.
So there's a real one for you guys. but I think was very valid. And I think I may agree with that later. Yeah. Who knows? We'll get there.
Well, we have reached the point where we are going to dissect this scene by scene. But first, we have to give some major thanks to Cedar Ridge Whiskey. They've been sponsoring us longer than any company has sponsored us. They are local to us. They're in our back door in Swisher, Iowa. They make...
He's just a giggly bitch today.
I didn't do nothing, okay?
They're in the back door.
They're in my back door in Swisher, Iowa. And I'm happy that they're there because they make the best whiskey in the world. Cedar Ridge Whiskey makes an incredible bourbon that you can put into all your cocktails. You put it in your old fashioned. They make the quintessential American single malt, which is seriously, I hate scotch. This single malt is one of the best things I've ever tasted winning awards like crazy, like double gold medal just recently in San Francisco. Then you have their collaboration with the second best thing to ever come out of Iowa other than the Confused Breakfast, Slipknot.
Fuck yeah, dude. They have Heritage Anthem.
Dude, they have a collaboration with them where they mix like rye and bourbon. It's called Number 9 and all these variations.
Crazy, just like Slipknot.
Just like Slipknot. It is some crazy stuff, but they are an incredible company. They support us, so what we're hoping you'll do is that you'll support them. You can go out to your local distributor, get a bottle for yourself. If you can't get it, you go online and you order it directly to your door from CedarRidgeWhiskey.com. I think you should do it. I think you should do it responsibly, and I think you should let them in your back door.
Well, if you have a little Cedar Ridge, it might help you get there.
You just might.
This might be the last time you hear an ad read.
Loosen things up a little bit, you know? It's kind of...
CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
CedarRidgeWhiskeyBackdoor.com.
Don't go there.
Don't go to that website.
Don't go there.
It's not good. It's someone sitting on a bottle. I spoiled it. I'm sorry.
Well, friends, if you do exactly what we tell you, the rest of our lives will be a vacation in a non-extradition country. I'm talking sandy beaches, umbrella drinks, and dirty naked freaks.
Dirty naked freaks.
It'll be a paid motherfucking vacation. Here we go.
Let's do it. Oh, now I need you in my arms, need you to
hold. You're my world, my heart, my soul. Scene one, Cameron Poe, an honorably discharged United States Army Ranger, comes home to his pregnant wife, Trisha. They are harassed by some drunk bar customers, and Poe kills one of them in self-defense. He's found guilty and sentenced to 7 to 10 years. During his time in prison, he communicates with his wife and daughter while taking time to better himself. Sean, we talked about the intro to Gone in 60 Seconds, and we're like, why? Like, why do you got to have two songs? And why do we got to just see Photoshop shit while they put the names of everybody in this movie that most people don't care about? This movie is how you do an opening scene.
Yeah. I mean, if Gone in 60 Seconds, people would have just hired Powers Booth. They could have gotten away with
it. Yes. This is just, they go right into it. And while we're watching the movie, they're like, oh, by the way, directed by that person. Oh, by the way, yeah, like cinematography.
Oh, FYI. Yeah.
I'll keep watching because this is very important stuff.
You don't really care, do you?
No. We just, contractually, we have to put their names on there, but just watch the screen. I fucking love the intro of this movie. Yeah, it's good. Right into it.
And I think Nick Cage came up with the idea that he was like a Army vet, or what's he?
Army Ranger. It says Ranger. Army Ranger. Ranger. Yeah.
That he was a Ranger vet because he wanted the excuse to, like, so he could fuck people up later, you know? Like, that. Okay. They wanted people, the audience, to believe, like, oh, okay, yeah.
He's not just some guy who went to prison. Like, he has
kind of
training.
An honorable man with training, yes.
Yeah. Well, and if you didn't believe it from him being an Army Ranger, you can believe it from how fucking jacked he is.
Dude, he is.
Is this his best? I mean, you're a Nick Cage guy. You know him. Is this the most jacked he's been?
I think it's probably the best he's ever looked. I think I read something, too, that he only had 3% body fat during the making of this movie. Like, he would work out and, like, lift weights, like, when they yelled cut and shit. He would just be like, yeah, yeah. I'm just learning my lines. Yeah.
Hey, hand me that thing. I'm going to lift it quick.
Like, that's an entire camera rig.
Cut. Okay, I'm going to lift.
We need that.
Yeah. I think the whole time, all you can hear is just Nick Cage kind of working out.
So in this scene, Nick, we're going to have you go climb up this thing into... he's so distracting. I'm sorry.
What's distracting?
It's your lifting and the noises. Really, it's
you got to breathe while you do this.
Should I put this back in the box?
Please put it down. We should have that as a line.
Oh.
All right. Remember that.
It's a really good impersonation. Oh. It's sort of Keanu meets Nicolas Cage. It's a weird little combination there. Oh, I do have to tell you that I have never in my entire life, I've been in a lot of bars. In my entire life, never have people slow danced to a slow song inside of a bar.
No.
This does not happen.
Not even, like, I've probably even seen, like, a homecoming of, like, a soldier in a bar.
Yeah.
And that's never happened. No. They don't dance.
I think instead they just went home and just had, you know.
They made up for lost time.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
But she's got to finish her shift.
Oh, right.
So
We have dishes.
We don't give a fuck about your husband.
Hey, my husband's home from the war and everything. It's like, so can I go home? No.
It's time for the rush.
What time are you off? 8? Well, it's, if you look on a clock, it's 7:15, so I don't. No, you can't.
We got a rush coming. It's like, is this late at night? Like, is this bar time? Like, what's going on?
Right.
Here,
actually, you know? he got there when it was light out, didn't he?
Fuck knows. I don't know.
I thought he got there when it was light out, and then they left when it was dark out.
Jerry
so he
Bruckheimer
basically just hung out there.
He doesn't know how time works. So
you're very true.
So this, you know, if we go off of Gone in 60 Seconds time, we've got 8 hours left. It's midnight. Okay, got it. It's like there's no concept here.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And we don't know how long they were in that bar slow dancing. They could have been there for hours.
She had time to slow dance. Why didn't she have time to just leave?
What?
Like, she's already wasting time. True. Slow dancing to this probably 5 minute long song.
She's got the boss that's just kind of too nice. It's like, hey, Trish.
Give her one dance. Give her one dance.
Well, there's people who need to drink.
This dickhead who plays a dickhead in every movie he's in needs a drink.
Yeah, it does.
Has he been in anything else?
He's the catalyst for everything going wrong.
Okay.
He's a fuckhead in that movie and does it really, really well.
Not yet. You want to save it? Maybe see if anybody else comes along.
I wouldn't have him in mind.
I mean, he does get punched in the face and
yeah,
dies
sure
from it.
Okay, so we really don't. We don't have to waste it, is what you're saying.
I think we're good.
Actually, Nick, wait. Yeah. If
somebody already went to prison.
The
for
punchable
it.
Face award is generally reserved for someone who didn't get what they had coming.
That's a good
true.
Point.
Like, it's
that's
technically how we usually get that. So
he got what he had coming and more.
That's a good one.
Yeah, but who had the last laugh?
That's right.
I gotta say this because when he pulls out that knife, I was like, oh, that's going into his throat. Oh. No, he did not use his own knife against him, which would have been the obvious choice. Nick Cage decided that he was going to really make this dude pay and decided to do that, like, this move. Like,
yeah.
What do you know?
Yeah, it's a death punch.
He basically just Lightning McQueen's his fucking chin. Yeah.
It's the Kill Bill 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Just in one.
It's epic.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I totally thought it was going to be a knife kill. It was not.
What's her name? What's his?
Trisha.
Is it Trisha?
You mean like her real name?
No, real Monica Potter.
It's Trisha.
Trisha.
Yeah.
Okay, so I do feel that because like that could happen to anybody. You know, like someone goes down the right way or something. I mean, he did a death thing.
I mean,
but like it could have just been like in real life, someone falls weirdly.
It happened to one of my good buddies in college. He got shoved by like a belligerent drunk person, and he stumbled back and lost his balance and hit his head on the concrete, and they like his friends took him home and he went to bed and never woke up. You know, like it can literally happen from some and that person then went to jail.
Yeah,
it's like fuck, that's scary, man.
Well, he's like then at the trial too. It's just like I won't plead guilty. Like why? Why?
Oh, most punchable face. Go okay. Now.
Hit it.
If we were on a train to go punch a face, I'm on board.
That's what I'm talking about.
His lawyer and his awful haircut.
This is terrible legal advice, right?
It's terrible.
This guy sucks.
Hey, if you plead, then you'll get 4 years max, and then what? He ends up getting 7 to 10 minimum, is what he said.
But so if he would have pleaded not guilty, he would have basically been in a self-defense case, right? Which seems like doable, right? He had three dudes attacking him and his pregnant wife.
Yeah.
Outnumbered, and he's just trying to defend himself.
Yeah.
He had
you could have driven away just then and there.
I mean, it's true. He did in fact step. Like he had a foot
in
his
car.
He had a foot in his car, and then he gets back out, and he goes, and then steps out in between all three of them. It's like, yeah, you let yourself get circled up there. But yeah, you're right.
Man,
like,
premeditated. These motherfuckers sat in the rain for like 5 hours waiting for him.
That's right. They probably sobered up pretty good.
Should we be doing this? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I'm mad.
Yeah. Let's kill a person tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what move I'll do is the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to rip his military stars off. And
yeah,
his,
like, yeah.
And his medals. That's the first move I'm going to make.
That's really going to get him pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to disrespect somebody who's dedicated their life to this. Like, oh, that is, you're a terrible person.
I've dedicated my life to debauchery.
Yeah.
Fuck this guy.
I didn't get a medal for it. I want his.
Fucking patent and shit.
Yeah.
Are you agreeing on punchable face there?
Yeah, why not? I don't think I have a different one.
I was going to say the DEA agent, Colm. How do you say his name?
Colm Meaney.
Oh, Colm
yeah.
Meaney.
Yeah.
He's always that fucker in
he
movies.
Is.
Like, but I think I'm going to jump on your train because, yeah, that agent. I've been watching Better Call Saul finishing season 6.
Oh, yeah.
And so I always think of when I see this kind of thing, I think of those like new lawyers that are just always walking around being like, I don't know, they give me cases and I just represent them. Like, that's what I was thinking this guy was. Some new lawyer who's just like, I don't know shit.
Obviously, yeah, you're right. I think you're 100% right. The worst case scenario, if this does in fact play out the exact same way, he's sitting there, he puts his foot down, says, no, I don't want to plead guilty, I want to plead innocent. Then he's in a case for self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in no way worse than what happened here.
Yeah, the worst thing that could have happened would have been probably what he got sentenced to.
And then, by the way, thanks again for exposition that has to be overdubbed from that judge. What's this? Cameron Poe. You are trained in the art of deadly military deadliness.
Dead.
You have the ability, unlike other people, to kill people in a way that's dead.
People.
Dead people. Dead. People dead. And in doing so, I must protect the world from more dead people and put you in prison.
Just for 7 years.
What the hell?
Just for 7 years.
Yeah, minimum. Yeah.
Minimum.
Jeez.
So I terrible. Also, when he does get into jail, he does meet my McKelty.
I think we're going to say McKelty.
McKelty Williams, Bubba Gump, fucking great.
Baby-O,
Bubba Gump. I love, like, that's why we have snowballs.
Snowballs, cheers.
You guys can see. yeah.
I've never had a snowball before.
Really?
Never eaten one before.
Oh, hit it. Get the camera on.
Let's see what it's like.
Okay. Good jail food, huh?
Yeah. If I was in jail, I'd be stoked.
This is what I would want.
But I'm not, so.
the goddamn, like, the letters back and forth and everything, it just seems so, like, the soundtrack seems so, like, spliced and cut, like, right away. Like, it just seems like it's, dear daddy, today is my first day of first grade. Dear Casey, wow, that is some shit.
Dear.
School is important. Dear daddy, I miss you even though I've never met you. Dear Casey, yep. Same here. Dear daddy, are you ever coming home? Dear Casey, you gotta get me out of here.
Get me the fuck.
There's some guy in here named Onyx Cobra. He's looking at me like I'm a snowball. Oh my fucking god! You gotta get me out of here right now. Oh shit! Like, it's just like so goddamn quick. I don't know. It's really fucking funny to me.
Dear Casey, skill's important. Keep going. You gotta have fun at recess. We don't really get recess. We get yard time. And you, it's like,
let me tell,
like,
you about yard time. So
yard time.
One of my friends, it wasn't Onyx Cobra, but I saw Onyx Cobra eyeing him too. His name was Dale. Dale got, Dale went to heaven, sweetie. And I don't know if you know what heaven is. Let's get into that. And they're so quick. Like, is that all the letter is? It's like, dear daddy, I went to school today.
It's like, you can't tell what letter is his and which one's Casey's.
Yeah.
Like, they're both written on that, like, super, like, big, like, line, dotted line paper and written in crayon.
Yeah.
From both sides.
Exactly.
So, I don't know who's who. Yeah.
It's pretty perfect, though, for me that I'm watching this going, oh, fuck, that's Bubba from Forrest Gump. And then I'm hearing Nick Cage's accent, and I'm like, is this fucking Forrest Gump? Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't mean this in a bad way, but Nick Cage sounds, in the way that Forrest Gump is slow, that's how he sounds in this
movie.
Yeah,
it's like it's
bad.
It's Alabama. Is it Cajun? At some points, I don't know what's going on. Yeah,
he said apparently he went to Alabama to study.
Yeah.
You're like, that's what you came back with?
It's Cajun, but C-A-G-E-N.
It's a Cajun accent.
C-A-G-E-N.
Cajun? Fuck yes, I love that.
C-A-G-E-N?
E-N.
How about U-N?
Cajun, yes.
Cajun.
It's a really bad accent.
It's not great.
It's not great. I'm
not saying it's like I want this. I like this, but it needs to be talked about that this is not good.
If I'm going to be
acting, it's not good.
In a very serious light of it, I guess it takes me out of the movie
a little bit
when I hear him talking, especially when he's reciting his those letters.
Yes.
When those letters are being recited. It pulls me out, and that's
because had
issue.
You not seen this yet, like you said, you would usually get into the movie later. Was this maybe the first time you've seen these parts of the movie?
Yeah, so like the prison, the stuff in prison.
Yeah.
I only ever saw like it was just when we're seeing John Cusack and that. You know,
okay, yeah. So you had really this whole first scene was like the first time you've
honestly
seen this.
the first time. Yeah,
yeah.
Really, probably was and. Maybe this, like when they're just getting out of prison.
Okay.
Getting out of prison and walking to that plane.
There was one thing, actually two things I wanted to mention. So How Do I Live, like you said, was actually written for this movie.
And by Leanne Rimes, right?
No, so what I heard, Sean, was that, so it was written by Diane Warren and was going to be included in the movie. And they were going to have Leanne Rimes, but they decided that she was too young, I think. And so they had Trisha Yearwood do it. But then I think Leanne Rimes did it later on in life.
And
right?
Made it more famous, I believe.
I think you're right. But interestingly enough, it was nominated for an Oscar, but it was also nominated for a Razzie.
That's right.
And did not win both of them. I don't know. That song and that scene is just kind of like, yeah, okay.
It's, the song is like the song in The Great Outdoors. We're in Kimmy, right? Kimmy is her name in Great Outdoors, and Buck.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Are like meeting up. It's like, oh, I know it's the love interest shit, and it's just like every time it's like family or Trisha shit. It's just like,
yes.
I'll get home now tonight. I can't take it.
And one other thing I did want to point out when it finally, when I think he gets sentenced. And then the logo hits,
yeah,
and it goes, and then it, in the background is like a fake jail, like exterior scene. It's like a color, like a painted jail scene,
yeah,
of the penitentiary. It's like, wow,
it's like
it's amazing.
What is happening?
What
here?
Is going on?
it's just. Yeah, it's a lot. It looks like a WWE, WCW like graphic that hits.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So 8 years later, Poe is released on parole and is scheduled to be flown back to Alabama on a prisoner transport airplane, which is mainly being used to transfer criminals to a new Supermax prison. DEA agent Duncan Malloy secretly puts an undercover agent on board the plane with a hidden gun to get more information out of drug lord Francisco Sedando. Shortly after the flight takes off, the prisoners are able to take over the plane and subdue the guards. Cyrus takes control of the cockpit to prevent the pilot from reporting the riot. The undercover officer tries to intervene, but is killed. We're rolling now.
It goes pretty quick, doesn't
it? Does
it
does go pretty quick.
Like we get into this pretty darn quick, and like I like that it's not only we get into the action pretty quick, I think they start sectioning off some teams at this point. Some yes. good guy teams and I love the I also love the explanation of these criminals.
Dude,
mm-hmm.
This might be one of the best examples of the like we've been, in fact this whole month we've been pretty much talking about how like assemble the crew.
Assemble
like,
the crew.
Yeah. We need to hear all about them. This might be one of my favorites. it's of how great. it's working.
It's a who's who of character actors as well. Mm-hmm. Another round of them, man. Like, you know, I think Steve Buscemi comes on later, right?
Buscemi's later
is the second trip. But yeah, you get Danny Trejo, you get
Ving Rhames.
Yeah, it's just
Dave
so good.
Dave Chappelle,
dude. Like what? Like he was a good actor. Like he was in You've Got Mail, for Christ's sake.
I know. I loved him in that movie. Actually, yeah. He's a great character in that. This is very funny. I think he is very much Dave Chappelle, but at the same time, I think it works so well for. And when he has these moments of like kind of seriousness, you're like, oh
yeah,
yeah, he's completely
he is
fine.
A criminal.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a bit of a nobody at this point. Like, think about Chappelle's shows like 2003 or 2004. Mm-hmm. Half-Baked is what, 2001 or 2? So he's leading up to that. And I also heard he pretty much improvised everything.
Right.
Which is why it's so damn funny.
Yeah.
They're like, what's one of your favorite lines that he has? I think one of the coolest lines he has is when the DEA agents got him. He's like, who the fuck are you? He's like, I'm a DEA agent. He's like, well, then you're the most crooked person on this plane.
Yeah.
He has like, fuck.
Like, you're a dead man. Like, he's like, you're in a situation you can't control. He's like, you're a dead man. Like, he knows.
Yeah.
You know, he's just as involved as any of these guys
He's the guy that makes it all happen.
Yeah.
Like, he's the guy that sprays the shit. You know, before we get into all that, I want to say that the shot of Nicolas Cage embracing the wind in his hair.
Oh,
it's absolutely beautiful. There's the memes out there, whatever. It's like touch this, or like blow on your screen in like 3, 2, 1, and it's just him. It's fucking great, dude. Well, I love that.
When you do realize the weirdness of this, I think Not Your Father's Beer Shirt, I believe, sent me when Willow was born a onesie.
Oh yeah,
with that photo on there, and I was like, oh cool, it's Nick Cage. Not understanding that, like, what that meant. Like, he just got out of jail. Willa just got out of the womb. I'm like, that is fucking genius. Now I know. Now I understand. It's perfect.
Yes.
We'll get some pictures out there. Because I believe Harrison has it right
now. I think
we
passed it along.
And so,
saving it for Sean someday.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Sean already has a full wardrobe of John Cage stuff ready for a future child.
I do really like this. Unfortunately, though, the other end of it is, what the heck? They just say this plane is for maximum security prisoner transport. Hey, I got a couple guys who need to fly to Albuquerque. Like, what the hell is going on?
Do you think this is really a rule? Because she says you have to be released from the prison you were brought into, like initially. Do we think that's really a thing? Or is that just whatever?
You're in cuffs. You're in restraints until you are
released from the prison you were brought into, or something like that. Processed in.
Yeah.
But like, think about that. If this was an option, I'm not. If I'm having an option, I'm not getting on that plane. Like, if my option was, hey, we'll fly you home on this prisoner transport, or we'll Blues Brothers style open the gate and you will walk outside and figure it out from there. I'm walking outside.
Yeah.
I'm walking outside. I'm calling a taxi. I'm going to the airport early. I'm having some airport cocktails. I'm living my life, my freedom, getting on a passenger jet to go home.
Yeah, I don't. You know? So when they process him, it wasn't like where he's at right now.
He was moved at some
him?
Point. Maybe
okay. I didn't ever get that.
I don't think they told you.
Okay. Moving prisoners. They're moving. And by the way, why did he get sent to a prison that requires a flight to get to?
Yeah, this generally guy, this manslaughter charge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Maximum security. Every state has a maximum security prison, I believe.
So why is he there?
So why does he have to be like flown to another place? I don't know. Or is it California? Maybe it's a big state? Texas? Yeah. I don't know.
So, I don't understand. Block 99, you know?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
So that part didn't ever make sense to me. And same with Baby O. He's just getting transferred.
Yeah, it just so happens that he's moving to the max, the new supermax, right? Baby O's a bad criminal.
Or they're dropping him on the way?
I don't know. I think he's going to the supermax.
Man, see, I don't know.
But it doesn't matter. None of this.
I guess it doesn't.
Regardless, they're all there. And I just think like it's weird that Nick Cage is also like smug.
Yes.
To like Cyrus the Virus, even. He's just like, oh, I'm just admiring your cage. I'm like, These are dangerous criminals. You murdered someone accidentally. They did it on purpose, and they probably will again.
A lot of times.
What if he gets out? Oh, shit.
There we go.
But he had, we forget, because it's so glossed over. He was in prison for 8 fucking years.
Yeah.
So he is not, like, he's done some things. Like, yeah. He's developed a rough, external thing. Like, but we just don't know that. We just see it in these weird little moments where he's like being a tough guy. But he was in prison for 8 years, man. We've been doing this podcast for 2.5.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
It's a long time.
It's a fucking long time.
Hell of a sentence. No, yeah, it's very true. Things go awry very quickly. And boy, it's got to be the most sucky situation. Because it didn't matter who was sitting next to Dave Chappelle. Yeah, he was lighting... whoever sitting next to him on fire. Yeah. That was the plan all along. You think about that. Like, what if it was Nick Cage or like Baby O? What if it was somebody else like who was in on the plan?
It's just you feel it. I do. There are moments when I'm like, yeah, Nick Cage, you nailed it. The walking out in the sun, that the look on his face, it's just a fucking kick in the dick that he's like, really? Like, I'm getting out, and this is now happening on my plane. Like, and you can feel that. Because the audience feels that, too. You're like, oh, fuck, he was so close.
Mm-hmm. And there's no way that he's not going to at least be, like, questioned or put into the point of, like, you were involved.
You were on that plane.
You were on that plane. You must have been involved. You were one of the prisoners on that plane. Like, you'd have to have somebody very, very reasonable, like John Cusack, thinking about this for you and insisting that, like, oh, yeah, he was just getting out. He was on his way to meet his wife and his new daughter that he's never met before. I think that this is an ally in the sky.
I have a hunch that this is one of our good guys we got up there. Yeah.
Like, come on. You know, not everyone's a John Cusack.
Not everyone's an optimistic.
No.
Very true.
I just think that once this plane is taken over, it's one of the maybe the first movies I've ever seen of, like, the bad guys are the main characters of the movie now, you know? And, you know, I know you got Nick Cage, who is technically our good guy, obviously. But then, like, movies like Devil's Rejects later on, I'd be like, it's just a purely villain-led kind of thing. Or, Reservoir Dogs, any Tarantino movie, really. It's like, they're all shitheads, but we are endeared by these shitheads, you know? Not so much Danny Trejo, but it's hard. It's a hard one.
Do you know he's 5'6"?
It's pretty short.
He that man seems larger than life.
Yeah.
In everything he's in. And then at one moment in this movie, I went, oh, he looks kind of short compared. Like, it was like a big, a long shot of him. 5'6". I still wouldn't fuck with him.
He's an actual ex-con as well. Yeah. And, like, kind of gave, like, he was kind of like their liaison of, like, oh, how would this go down? Like, what's the relationship between this guy and that guy?
Wow, really?
Like, are people who are getting out kind of looked down upon, you know, maybe something like that.
Okay, cool.
But
that's
how he got into acting. His story is fucking fascinating.
Yeah.
Look him up, because he just, like, kind of walked on a movie set and was like, oh, you need to be in this movie.
I do this.
And started acting from here on out.
Now he probably has his own, like, grilling seasoning product line.
Probably.
With a big smile on his face. Yeah.
How to make burn ends.
Yeah, that's right. The right way.
So they get it taken over, and, like, down on the ground, John Cusack is, like, getting word of this finally, and he's like, What's going on up there? He's like, oh, just a little ruckus. There's TikTok. Can you describe the ruckus?
Can you describe the ruckus?
I want that so bad. But
yes,
we also get him, like, fishing through his Cyrus the Virus's bullshit, right?
Yeah.
In this, and I just went back to the Shawshank Redemption the whole time they were doing this. But what do you? Should we talk about Cyrus the Virus?
Let's focus on Malkovich. Like, what is your overall feeling on him in this role?
I think it's one of the most iconic villains of, like, these kind of action movies like this, like The Rock or Face Off or anything.
Yeah.
I think he's one of the most iconic and standout for sure.
I think he's the best performance in this movie.
Yeah.
And I know, I think he was even like, I think he was pretty unhappy about what, like, the production. Everything was being rewritten, and I don't think he likes to talk about this movie.
Yeah.
Because it's probably just people always being like, tell us about Con Air. But I thought he was fucking awesome. I believed it. And in fact, I first saw him, and I go, oh, John Malkovich is the... And then I went, oh, yeah, he's the guy. I'm scared of him.
There is... I do really like his performance. The only thing is, for some reason, and it's just not a knock, it's almost like I don't get quite enough of a reasoning to be scared of him, or he seems like there's something about him that seems like he's bored by this in this whole thing that he has to go through
as an actor, or Cyrus the character.
I couldn't tell you.
Okay,
one or the other. I can't tell if it's John Malkovich being a little bored by the character, or Cyrus the Virus being bored by the fact that he has to basically deal with all these people that in his mind are just beneath him.
I think it's that. I think John Malkovich is eating this shit up. Like, as an actor, he's just like, oh my God, yes, scenery, get in my mouth. I really think so. But yeah, I get what you're saying, where it's just like he's almost aimless, even though he's got this plan.
Yeah, like, this is his plan.
Yeah, but there's a thing like with psychopaths who do get bored easily, and they have to keep leveling up what they're doing,
upping,
you know,
the stakes kind
of
thing.
He's more of a joker to me than he is like a psychotic killer.
Okay.
He's just a means to an end kind of guy.
I see.
And okay. I love his, like, one-liners are just fucking fantastic. Really,
when he goes, welcome when to Con Air.
When he goes in the cockpit, he's like, the next wings you will see will be the flies buzzing over your corpse.
Yes.
But will you be able to see the flies if you're a corpse?
You're probably dead.
Oh. Yeah, see?
It doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm threatened.
There is something about those lines that you're just like, finish up.
Okay. Yes.
You know what I mean? It's just like, you don't have to go that far. You could have said that, or the next wings you'll see will be angels' wings.
Instead, it's like,
that's it.
Or the next wings you'll see will be the wings of a B-52 bomber flying over Panama City, which is where your ashes will be after you're dead, because your family will spread them in Panama City, because that was your favorite place to be.
Because they won't extradite your ashes back to the States, because...
Son of a bitch.
It actually makes me more scared. Like, if he was that specific, I'd be like, fuck, dude, you're like, right.
How has he thought this all out? Yeah.
Instead, I'd be like, hey, I don't believe in God, so there's no such thing as angels. So yeah. I'm fine. No, it's like, well, oh, I love Panama City.
It will be the flies over your dead corpse then.
Too bad we didn't have what's-his-face from Gone in 60 Seconds with yeah. keeping his teeth in his mouth.
It never rains. It pours.
You want to go on to scene three here, fellas?
Yeah.
So the plane is scheduled to land in Carson City, offload some passengers. Poe turns down a chance to get off in order to stay with his friend Odell, who needs medical attention. Upon landing, Cyrus ensues that the prison transfer goes smoothly. New prisoners are brought on board during the exchange. Despite Poe's efforts, the plane leaves Carson City without problems. Around that time, Larkin discovers the plans for the plane's takeover in Cyrus's old jail cell and narrowly avoids getting killed in Cyrus's former cell.
Question. Why would the undercover cop jump out at this point when there is zero control? He could have zero control over this. Is he just panicked? Is he not that good of a cop? Like, I feel like somebody would be like, oh, I need to like hold back.
I wonder if the only person they could possibly get to go undercover with a gun on a plane full of the most dangerous criminals in the world is probably maybe not the smartest.
The one. New guy?
The new guy. Because think about his, from his mental capacity, he's on there literally just to wait for this new guy. What is it?
Which one was it?
Sedano or something like that is the one that the mobster guy, the connected one, is the one that's going to get on the plane.
Okay.
And so his only thought is that I'm going to get on this plane and I'm just going to talk to this guy, which, by the way, is a terrible plan. Like,
yeah, it's a terrible plan.
This super high echelon criminal is going to be like, oh, what's up, dude? Yeah. So here's what I'm planning for the future. I'm going to tell you everything. But so this whole thing happening just blows this dude's mind and he loses it.
He just loses.
Yeah, he has to.
Man, like it is. It's the worst time that he could have done this. They're literally celebrating, we have the plane. And instead of waiting until they have to ground again, you're going to pull your gun. It was just such a... And then that guy is done. He's out. We just needed him out of this storyline.
Yeah.
That's basically all we needed.
Very true.
Man.
We are also learning more about Cyrus the Virus as they're digging through his cell and John Cusack's heading up this. And then, one, how do you get a bomb in there? Like, I just don't understand. Like, they're just pulling out random shit, just like naked pictures of B. Arthur.
Right.
A football helmet full of cottage cheese. A PS5 is in there, you know. And then a bomb.
Yeah.
How did he make that? How did he get the things to make that bomb? I don't
know. Here's an even better question. How many times every night does he have to rebuild that brick in the wall? Does he just keep putting that thing back together? How does he do that?
It's not like Andy Dufresne. It's just a poster. Yeah. No. He's rebuilding the thing.
That guy chips a hole in this like soft like thing made out of glue and sand. And Cyrus just... Yeah. And like it's like he has to rebuild that every single night? Dude, what the hell?
Commitment. Commitment.
Commitment.
I do love, he's like, don't touch anything. And 2 seconds later, he's like, touch. The guy immediately touches.
Oh, you mean like this?
Oh, you mean the thing that says don't touch it?
Wonder what he's got in here. It's like, well, you found out.
Yeah.
There had to have been something else to go along with this. I need this medication. They couldn't get him off the plane. They still wanted this to happen. They don't care at this point, I guess. Cyrus wouldn't care if he's going to die.
Yeah, they have zero concern for him. If this would have been, if the guards maybe still had control, they would have figured something out. But they don't care. Prisoners don't care right now, do they?
Yeah. Okay. I think it's a good anxiety addition, like a builder.
Well, but it's the reason to keep him on the plane, mm-hmm. Poe on the plane. But at the same time, I'm getting off the fucking plane.
Yeah.
I've known you for a couple years. You're a criminal that's going to die in prison. You're going to a new Supermax. You're never getting out. You're going to die now. I'm out. I was wrongfully imprisoned. I'm going home to my family.
You understand, right?
Yeah.
Like we had our snowballs thing, but I'm out. I'm out.
Am I wrong in that? I know that's like a cold-hearted thing, but like...
Never leave a man behind.
No, leave him behind.
Now, this is prison.
This is prison. He would do that to you.
Yeah. You kind of wonder, right? I mean, if it was a flip...
If you, AJ, if you had never met Harrison before, because you'd been in prison for 8 years, and I'm your cellmate, you're getting out, I'm life in prison, and we've developed a good relationship, and now I'm apparently sweating from not having my diabetes, insulin, and you had a chance to literally get off the plane to freedom to your wife and child you've never met, or me going, please, you got to help me. You got to help me keep alive so that I can go to the prison for the rest of my life. Are you going to help me? You're probably going to die if you stay on this plane.
I would have been like, can't you just eat one of those snowballs? You know, keep blood sugar up.
This is an airplane. Isn't there some ginger ale somewhere?
There's got to be, they got to have some sort of concierge. It's just sugar, right? It's just some sugar. Can't you just drink that stuff?
Yeah. Does it have to be injected? That was literally my thought.
Can we put it in your ear?
Hey, there's 82% of my daily intake of sugar is in one snowball.
It's in one snowball.
Just eat one of these, man.
We could just go back to like another. Can't you just be like?
Say, well, technically I can't drink it. Doesn't get there fast. And I was like, there's another way.
There's another way.
Go through your butt.
And look, I am here to help you butt chug. I'll do whatever it takes. I will help you butt chug that insulin as long as it gets me off this plane in Carson City.
Let's butt chug some insulin.
Oh my God. We do have to consult the Jarrett Leoff Confused Breakfast actor database. So you asked about Steve Buscemi.
Yes.
Steve Buscemi being in this movie takes him to 7 appearances in movies we've done. That is now a tie for number one with John Candy.
It's a tie. I thought it was a tie.
He was one behind. So now John Candy and Steve Buscemi are at the top of our 2 spaces of Mount Rushmore at this point.
Close race.
So who's our Rushmore right now?
It's only those two.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. Nobody. Want to know more? I mean, there are.
Well,
more.
I was just wondering if we do three and four.
Keanu is in at number 3.
Okay.
But then you got a bunch of fives. You got Rick DeCumen. You got Corey Feldman. You got Dan Aykroyd. You got Nick Cage. You got Alan Covert, and you got Jimmy Starr.
Wow.
Rick DeCoven.
I would take
there.
Rick DeCoven.
So right now it's Rick DeCoven.
Yep. Yeah.
Our Mount Rushmore is John Gandy, Steve Buscemi, Keanu Reeves, and Rick DeCoven.
Give me that movie.
Give me that movie.
Can we quit? Did we figure it out?
Did we just make Speed 4?
Hey, someone out there,
Come on, make
a Rushmore thing with their faces on it, and we will read your review. I don't know what we'll do. We'll do something for you.
We have to stop this taxi. I don't know, man. Like, I feel like we got to get where we're going.
I don't fucking like taxis. That's right. That's Steve Buscemi. I don't know why.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Pull this fucking thing over. John Candy's the driver. Oh, sorry, folks. Got to keep going.
Sorry, folks. E-brake's on.
What's that smell?
Where's Bert when you need him? Green light it. Where is he?
They're all in a taxi.
Legendary pictures. Let's do it. Let's go.
Well, then, so Sean, let's talk about Steve Buscemi in this. How do you rank this role and this performance in the things we've seen him in?
Could have been anybody else.
Yeah.
Sadly, that this is like his kind of. I was hoping that it was going to be him taking over John Candy, and I was wanting to celebrate it. But also, it'd be tainted by this performance.
This, yes.
Like, it's not like his performance at all. It's just like. Yeah, he's a psycho killer, but I don't even really buy him as a psycho killer. Like, maybe because of the stigma that we love him so much as an actor. I don't know. It could have been somebody else that, like, even that's not even like that well known. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he looks very young in this movie.
Really does.
And there's something about, and maybe this is what I was trying to get at with John Malkovich, is because with Steve Buscemi, it's the same thing. You can't just force feed us the exposition of like getting the crew together. And then expect us to be afraid of these guys. It doesn't work the same way, I think, with the endearing side of things. I don't think it works that way. You can't tell me Cyrus the Virus like willingly killed like 11 people and he would keep doing it. Or this guy, Garland Green, who's the most unassuming person ever, killed 36 people across how many states? Mm-hmm. And it's like, for some reason, it's like, okay, I get it, but we never see any side of that other than, you know. And the two scariest people in this plane are presumably the smartest.
Ving Rhames,
well, sure. But
he's Cyrus and Garland Green.
Ving Rhames is presented as being a very smart person. He is too, presented in his smart. Background.
That's true. So
he's got like his own ulterior motives too that we kind of find out about.
Yeah, absolutely.
With Garland Green, I just think that it's. Like, I know that they did a lot of research of like actual serial killers. It was like all serial killers melded into one pretty much. They wanted to take this from that and that from this. Like traveling across states is like Ted Bundy or whatever.
Okay.
And I think they were going for the most because Ted Bundy's like kind of unassuming. You know, Jeffrey Dahmer's like unassuming until you find out these monsters are like monsters. And so I guess that works for it. And to never see that side of this character is kind of scary because you do get the scene with the little girl, which is also really not needed.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's very conflicting because I know I get the reason why the character's like this. And I do find it interesting where it's like he is so unassuming. It's hard to see him killing a child.
Yes.
In this character. But yeah, I don't know. But at the same time, I don't know why it's here.
Something about the way he's talking is very like Tyler Durden to me.
Yeah.
When he says, but what if I told you Insane was working 50 hours a week in some office for 50 years? And at the end of which they tell you to piss off, ending up in some retirement village, hoping to die before suffering the indignity of trying to make it to the toilet on time.
Define like, irony. Yeah. Irony is a bunch of assholes on a plane.
A bunch of idiots listening
to Lynyrd Skynyrd about
a band who died on a plane.
Yes.
It's funny because, you know, like, had I seen this at the same time I saw Fight Club, we will get to Fight Club, but Fight Club, very much, I'm hearing Tyler Durden speak being like, you're right.
Yeah.
Like, we need to get out of this crazy. But then I'm hearing him say things like that, and I'm like, you're right. We don't need to kill kids, though. Like, hold on a second.
Yeah.
You took it a whole different way.
Tyler Durden just makes soap.
Just makes soap, man. It's cool.
Yeah, that's it.
the prisoner exchange, the grounding activity in Carson City. I feel like this is genius on the prisoner part. I feel like this is super smart.
Like, what do you mean?
I think it's done very well. I think like for the characters,
yeah,
for them to play as the guards, yep, cover themselves up. The dust obviously
convenient,
helps.
Convenient.
It's very convenient that, yep, it's a dust storm and stuff.
They consulted the Farmer's Almanac.
That's, yeah, right.
And they're like, oh, we know that that
what's,
day.
What's the weather? It's pretty hairy down there, Cyrus. Perfect.
Yes.
That's good.
Wonderful. Yes.
I think this is one of those moments where, like, plot-wise or moving the plot along, I feel like is a very smart thing. Although, the other end of it then, too, is just Cameron Poe conveniently seeing that, or like they're gagging people and everything, and he's hoping, he's like, come on, see it. Come on. Come on, bus stop. Like, I don't know. It falls away very quickly for me.
Yeah, I agree with you that it's like very, like, setting this up is so cool.
I think it's brilliant.
It's like, yeah, adding a sandstorm is like convenient for the plot, but it's fucking badass.
Looks cool.
Whatever. Yeah, it's cinema. It's a movie. Yeah. Come on. and it's great. They tape over their mouths and they cover their
smart
eyes and everything, and then, you know, it pops off and we get MC Gainey.
MC Gainey.
I fucking love MC Gainey.
Wait, which one's MC Gainey?
He takes over as pilot.
Oh, duh. Yeah, that's right. What Mighty Ducks?
Yes, like, yeah, literally, he's the limo driver.
Yeah.
Mighty Ducks. Oh my God.
He can drive anything with four wheels, like Tumblr, for 60 seconds. Swamp Thing. That's what his name
Swamp
is in this.
Thing, that, yeah, guy is pretty dope. I, yeah, like him a lot.
Oh, and obviously Dave Chappelle getting wrapped up because he's just like starved for a woman. He's
it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. He's just out there. And him running. Is this green screen running?
Or he's just, hey, standing in place.
Hey! Come on! Hey!
Oh. Which, by the way, makes no sense that he ended up in the wheel well.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's like
maybe
he tried,
he fell and got back,
like,
up.
Like, he tried to get into it. Like,
but he fell like outside the plane, you know, like,
yeah. Oh, he did.
I thought you see, yeah, him like he's like 4 feet from the plane, and then I think he tripped and fell.
I don't think
he's like
falls.
Flipping off the Native American guy. He started on fire.
Yeah. He's flipping off. I don't know if he falls though.
I think he does. He goes out of frame at least.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's get on with that. Well, unless you got something else.
One more thing is like when they do get back on the plane and Garland is just sitting there. Or, yeah, well, they undo him and whatever. He says, I don't know how I managed to get smack dab in the middle of this madness. And then Baby O's just, like, right next to Nick Cage, just fucking heaving and, like, oh, my God. And he's like, how you doing, Baby O? Like, how do you think I'm doing? I'm out of my mind, like, gonna die. For sure.
Yeah.
And there's, like, Garland, he, like, leans back and Garland's right there. He's like, hi. Hi, Garland.
Yeah,
hi, Garland.
When he does say that, when he's just like, hey, Garland, like they've passed each other on the block before.
It's more like they shouldn't have talked to him in the first place, yeah, and now that they've talked to him, they're friends, and he's like, fuck, he's gonna want to sit at our table.
He's upset because he's gonna want to talk to me now. I made eye contact with Garland.
It's can't like tell him no.
Oh shit, is that guy like super dangerous? No, he's just fucking annoying.
Look at him, he's scrawny pipsqueak, but he'll never let you go, man.
He just will not shut up.
Really big gambler. Really big gambler.
Yeah.
All right, so scene four. Pinball's body is discovered in the landing gear, and Poe writes a message on his shirt before pushing him out of the plane. Larkin recognizes and thinks the plane is heading in the opposite direction and heads to an abandoned airfield to intercept. The plane has a rough landing at the abandoned airfield. While the prisoners dig the plane out and look for Sindano's plane, Poe runs into the hidden henchmen. Sindano attempts to escape on the plane, but they crash and explode.
Pinball falling from the sky and that landing on the car. That scene is pure perfection.
Yeah.
Music and all.
Yeah.
I love it. It's so funny. I love, you know, just the random characters in the car. It's like, oh, honey, it's my car or whatever.
And that just how it always goes. I just get this thing detailed and the bird shits on my windshield.
It's perfect. I love it so much. And it's a good, like, it's a good thing to... Like a plot device too is like the character becomes a plot device where he's got the message for Vince.
It's got your name written all over it.
It's really good.
It's pretty funny.
It works really well.
I feel like them landing at this place feels completely unnecessary. Like they consider it like a refueling thing.
Are you talking about Carson?
No, it's this after
they're,
Carson.
They're going Carson? To the next place.
It's yeah, it's this it's the quote unquote abandoned airfield, which technically isn't abandoned because there it's like a family it's a family run like mom and pop airport. What? Like apparently this is the airport that is in Mad Max. Like, what is this place? It's just it's like post Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Like what is this airfield?
And everything's hidden. It's abandoned, but everyone's like there.
Yeah.
Sorry, my computer died there, but you said I want to add one thing. You said that scene was perfection with pinball, and I agree with you. Other than how bad that dummy looks,
that dummy
in the wheel well.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it was bad, but I'm pretty sure the second view. Oh, you want a prop? Are you punching face?
No, prop.
Ooh, here's a prop.
You can't have the...
I want the bust of Dave Chappelle.
You can't
post... You can't do that.
Why can't I do
it? I'm going...
Yes.
Look.
Can it be the white version?
No,
because
matter.
There's a... He looks white in the second one.
What?
He does.
You can't...
The dummy looks so bad the second time they show it. It looks literally like a white mannequin.
Okay. That's
even though it is in fact a prop of that movie, you can't turn people into objects, Sean.
Okay. Yeah,
okay.
All right.
You can't. Not objects.
You're allowed.
Okay. Oh, you can.
They did it fine. In basketball. Wasn't like what's his name?
Squeak.
Abdul Jabbar.
Oh yeah.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He was like in the glass case or whatever.
That's right. Okay. He's allowed. Yeah.
What are you taking?
I want the ass kicker license plate.
Fuck.
Are you gonna do the obvious?
No.
Okay.
What's the obvious?
The bunny.
What, the plane?
The bunny.
Put the bunny down. No, I don't know. I wanted that license plate. I want the vial of insulin that can't be used.
That's a terrible problem. Oh, I'll allow it. That's fine. Okay. Go ahead, man.
God, man.
But you talk about that air. Land this airplane chicken scene is so ridiculous to me. Like
with Bob Stevenson,
the little plane and the big plane, and he like rolls out, but the plane like goes up and goes back down again. It's like it's so unbelievable. But I'm just like, I don't care.
This rules.
I at this point, I understand what we're in for. I don't care.
I want to shout out that plane driver, Bob Stevenson.
The little plane driver?
Yeah, he is in a bunch of movies and like a lot of commercials as well. You'll recognize him. He's also the baggage claim guy in Fight Club. When he goes...
No!
Yeah. When he's like,
of course, we can't call it
your.
We can't reference it as your dildo.
Yeah, he's that guy.
It's a dildo.
I see him pop up in movies all the time. Like
I love
every
that
time
guy.
He's in a movie, it's great, and he's great. So I just want to shout
good
him out.
Good call, man. Yeah. Wow, that's amazing.
What was the point of going to this airfield was to change planes?
Yes, they're changing. They're expecting Sindano's crew to be there to pick them up.
Right. In a different plane, in that
which they were,
plane.
But yeah. They were like hidden away and stuff. So yeah, they're gonna ditch this plane.
Gotcha.
Is what I understand is gonna happen here.
Okay, so okay, that I guess yeah. Then that makes some more sense. But they're after this is all taking place, and like they're this other plane isn't there. You know, they're gonna pull this other fucking plane out.
I mean, these are strong men. Very strong men.
Yeah, but these aren't people like building the pyramids, okay? Like pulling this plane
out.
How
much does that plane weigh? Like 100,000 pounds?
Yeah. They had a tractor. They had a John Deere that
and Ving Rhames.
And Ving Rhames.
Yeah.
Which is
basically
worth
like another
is
tractor.
Worth something. Yes, yes. There's two tractors.
Yeah.
There's John Deere and Ving Rhames.
So that's like 75,000 pounds compensated for right there.
Yeah, but then add the adrenaline of the cops coming and stuff.
Right.
So yeah, I think they're going to now decide to pull the plane out and then refuel it, right? And then go somewhere else maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the plan. Like, are they just going to Vegas? We'll get there. But we skipped over Put the Bunny Back in the Box. Great scene, great fucking quote in the movie, but also it outs Nick Cage later, so yeah. I just wanted to bring it up. We can get back to the airport now.
All this is happening, right? Then the plane gets taken out, but or the getaway plane. So then they start like yanking on the thing to get it out of the dirt. Steve Buscemi's off playing Dolls and Tea Party. And while all this is going on, Cyrus the Virus has had time to set up a replica of the town. Please, I'm sorry. Pardon me that this is not up to scale. Thanks, Doc Brown. Like, he built this whole freaking thing out of cans and, like, yes. of the little
These
airport.
These are prisoners. They are very resourceful.
They're very resourceful. What's that? That's a rock.
We didn't see the map of the plane in his jail cell that they pulled out. It was, like, little macaroni. Yeah. Like, as, like, seats. And then it was, like, little
toothpicks,
pebbles. Yeah,
and
toothpicks,
like, yeah,
and stuff.
Smiley faces on everything. Yeah. It's just such a silly thing for me to, like, see. Whatever this is made out of, what looks like a town that they're doing like in a Western.
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to take this car out. We're going to take this car out. And we're going to create a bowl of death with lots of death in it.
I love it. I can't get enough of it.
That drove me nuts.
I don't know, man. It's just, there's something about it where I'm just like, yeah, you take the time to make a makeshift little map for yourself.
Ben Reeves like ran up. He's like, Cyrus. And he's just like, What?
No, I didn't see you playing with your dolls again.
No, I didn't see you playing with your dolls again.
You're missing a plane. God damn it.
I'll tell you what, though. I do not like this whole Steve Buscemi little girl thing.
It's really weird. I got the whole world in my hands. Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that it's perverting that song. That's kind of fun to me.
Right. But that's all like horror film esque kind of. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't like, again, I'm just not sure why it's here. I know he's like a criminal and it's just something to cut back to.
And it kind of, I think it leaves like in question and whether or not this character has changed. Has he been rehabilitated?
We don't care.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is my first watch, and I'm going, what? They're fucking going here?
They're
going
to do this?
As a man with a young daughter, I was just like, what the fuck is going on here? And then they take you on that ride to then be like, oh, he got the doll, and she's fine. And I get to see you later.
Yeah,
like, we don't need it.
For me, it's not like, not to be sadistic about it or anything like that, but if like we never got her waving goodbye and like just taking the doll, I would have been like, okay. That guy's fucking crazy. Like,
yeah.
It still doesn't really add anything to the movie, but he is definitely more terrifying to me. Why do that scene if you're not going to fully commit to
right.
it? I don't get it.
It's just like, well, I don't understand it.
I once drove across three states wearing a girl's head on mine. That's the line he says in this. And
awesome.
You're like, whoa. Are we going to see this again?
Yeah.
He should have walked. He would have walked out.
Dude, oh my god!
Instead of a doll, they're just like, this is the worst.
Completely different. Yeah.
This is the worst.
It'd have been like, what? Oh,
yeah. Oh,
I don't like that at all.
That right when Cage gets off the plane, he's going to look for a shot. Ving Rhames got the crew like on the ground. He's pointing a gun at him, about to execute him. And every time like Cage is like playing psycho criminal, we've noticed throughout these movies now where there's always a bit in these movies with Nick Cage where he's playing a character for the movie, but then that character that he's playing is also playing another character. Like in Gone in 60 Seconds at the car dealership, he's playing kind of a different person. Yeah. And then Cameron Poe in this point, he's playing the psycho criminal that he's trying to portray.
Yeah.
You know, trying to kind of mask his
a dream within a dream.
Yeah, there you go. But like every time he does it, you can tell he's having such a good time with it. And I love that about it. And it reminds me so much of Face Off, him right here. That nothing I'd like more than to put a bullet in the back of these heads.
In the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
Yeah.
What about Cy Anara?
Fuck yes.
Like I want to hate AJ. I want to hate this so much, and I can't. I cannot hate this. This is fucking campiness genius at its best. I fucking love it.
Sigh. Anara.
Like, he's been waiting his whole life to have a moment where someone's trying to yell his name and he can finish it with Anara. He's been waiting his whole life.
I want pizza with Marinara.
Marinara.
Anara. It's so good. Do you not like it?
I'm right there with you in the same vein of like, well, I mean, this guy's going to die. there's no question about it anymore. And it's like, Sai Anara. I was like, that's kind of cool. He did time it pretty great. They'll be here. Have patience. It's like, the last guy who told me to have patience, I burned him down and pissed on the ashes, and then I built a little mini snowman out of his ashes, and then I kicked that over again, and then I let ants build their own hill out of the ashes. So don't tell me to have patience. It's like, what are you talking
don't
about?
Don't tell you have patience. Okay, that's all I needed. That's all I needed to say.
Scariest environment. Guys. So that's all I had to say, scariest environment.
Dude, yeah, I agree with you. Like, his like threats and shit are so prolonged, but it's so fucking good.
It takes you on the ride. You're like, oh, wait, I'm still trying to comprehend what you just said. Like, it's hold like, on.
He goes on this long ass tirade. It's just, I burned his ass. I pissed his ass. I did all this. It's the guy's just like,
all right.
Okay. All right. Well,
all right. What's more of a crime, the Sayonara line or John Cusack's character's outfit? With sandals and socks and a weird,
he's a sandal salesman.
He at one point you see him. He's got some weird linen crumpled up suit on, and he has like the sand, like those weird Doc Marten sandals where the whole thing's like a shoe, but they just have holes in them. And then he's got socks on underneath it, like white socks underneath it. It you know, like it's a weird outfit choice,
fashion
in '97.
Gross.
We haven't talked a lot about Cusack.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, and I feel like I really do like him in this role. It took me a little bit to like him. But I do like him in this role.
Do you like him in this role?
I think he's fine. Like, he's anything he's in, it's just great. Like, it's kind of like Nick Cage, to be honest.
They're kind of similar.
He doesn't need it didn't need to be John Cusack. It could have been probably anybody else. But the fact that it is John Cusack, it just heightens it that much more. You know?
It makes him, I think John Cusack is an ultimate kind of good guy. Mm-hmm. He's in this role. You know he's a good guy.
He just, this seems like one of his weaker, he's a great actor. It just seems like one of his weaker performances to me.
Okay.
And maybe, Sean, you know this, like, he doesn't talk about this movie, right?
He was in I read that he was in an interview, or no, this was John Malkovich, sorry. But John, well, I'll just say,
all of them.
John Malkovich is like kind of disowns this movie too. And like someone was like in an interview with him, comparing him to another actor that was with him in that same interview. And he's like, oh, well, yeah, you were in Being John Malkovich. You were in all these prestigious movies. Like you don't do anything wrong. He's like, I was in Con Air. It's like, yeah, but you're so good in it. Like, I don't know. I've heard John Cusack just like it's a terrible movie, and
it bums me out. I get it for Super Mario Brothers. Like, we talk about how they like trash it. I get that. Something like this, like, who cares?
People love this movie, and I guess people love Super Mario Brothers too. But it's like, I don't know. It's kind of apples and oranges.
Yeah.
Like, I guess you can be proud or not proud of the work that you do.
But you still did it.
Yeah.
And then they asked why he did. He's like, money.
Yeah.
Like, money. That's cool. That's awesome.
I needed a Corvette.
That's cool. Tell me more about that. I like that.
The Corvette being taken up by the plane and everything.
Come on.
It's ridiculous, but it's very believable just watching that thing just get towed along.
No, it's not.
I think it is.
No, it's not.
Okay, well, fine. It looks like a Corvette-shaped balloon being tugged around. But you know what? I still believed it, Michael.
Is that what they're shooting down out of the sky nowadays? God damn.
Corvette-shaped balloons.
Man. Corvette-shaped balloons.
You know you had one at your birthday party.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you're going to.
Yeah, I like when he says, what are you going to do now? He's like, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to save the fucking day. You know, great fucking hero moment. And then there's not exactly my Tizen Yahtzee, but let's do it. It's just so many good lines in this one scene. And
not exactly my Tizen Yahtzee, baby.
let's do it. It's so good. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, let's finish the scene here. So scene five, after a massive gunfight between the prisoners and armed forces, Grisham and the remaining prisoners return to the plane and take off. Poe gains control of the cockpit and they crash land on the Las Vegas Strip. Larkin and Poe team up to catch Grissom, Jones, and Swamp Thing, who are trying to escape on motorcycles. Poe is finally able to reunite with his loving wife and daughter, who have been brought by Larkin to meet him.
Make a move and the bunny gets it. He just might be crazy enough he to just shoot that might bunny.
I know.
to shoot a stuffed bunny.
I know that you like this, so I'm going to shoot it.
To waste a round on this.
Just for the effect of it.
He is kind of like a joker.
Yeah.
He's making jokes. He doesn't take anything too seriously except for his plan to get something done and
it's
get his freedom.
It's just chaos.
Yeah, he's fine with the chaos.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. Like, the gunfight and the tension of the plane getting shot down, like, and the tension between Cole Meany and John Cusack. Do you guys like this? Like, do you like the choppers keeping up with the plane?
I like,
and shooting this thing down.
I like the old lady. that was a scene before this, but
in the plane with the transponder.
Yeah, the transponder was in the wrong plane. It was like, she hadn't put her dentures in or something.
No, because she's waving and there's like a girl in the back going, it's the grandma's just going, hi.
God damn it. Like, I just like, it's like they're shooting this plane down. Like, I for some reason, I feel so much for John Cusack's character, for Larkin in this. It's like, stop shooting my fucking plane. It's like, stop it. Stop. Stop tickling me.
Fucking one thing I did have a major problem with was before that, like, before they're getting ready to take off, they see them coming in the distance, right? They see these cars driving and they're like, how much time we got? He's like, 10-12 minutes. I had to do some math.
No, boy.
I had to do some math. So 3 miles is as far as you can see on a horizon, by the way. Only 3 miles. If you're standing on a beach.
It's quite a ways away.
I mean, 3 miles is far away. But, you know, you're standing on a beach. The furthest you can see is 3 miles. They've got mountains in the background. They're closer than three miles. Let's call it 1 mile away. If 10 to 12 minutes is how long it's going to take them to get here, that means they're driving 5 to 6 miles an hour.
Oh man, and they wouldn't be doing that.
No, they'd be going about 80 miles an hour. I did see that.
Wouldn't be doing that.
I go, oh, they're coming, and he goes 10 to 12 minutes. I go 10 to 12 minutes. How far away do you think they are?
All right, we're gonna get them, boys. But these cars, take it easy.
Yeah,
you take it easy.
Hey, this is gravel. We don't want to.
Pretty rocky,
you know, get
out
there.
Here.
Oh man,
yeah, slow down.
Slow down. God dang, I'm spilling my coffee. It's like jostling my.
And of course, you have to talk about Sweet Home Alabama. Soon, right?
Oh, we did. Oh, we need that. Yeah.
I didn't want that at all. I hated it.
It's just the point that I don't care. and it's like how many people need to rummage through other people's shit to find to find a letter about my daddy's getting out today. Why is that where people went to? People are just rummaging through.
They're
people.
Petty.
Like, he's got the only fucking box down there?
Yep, he's the only one with the box down there full of secrets. Turns out they all have secrets, but they're only going after Poe.
And I don't know why that it's such a big deal that he is getting out. Like, why would he want to keep that under wraps? I guess I get it because he is technically, you know, against them.
Maybe there's some animosity. I mean, you know, I've never been to prison, but maybe
there's like a stigma.
Maybe.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It was just like, why do you want to keep that from everybody? Like, why are other prisoners pissed at that? Like, they're technically free.
Yeah,
they
technically took over they're the plane. Going free too.
Yeah,
they're singing Sweet Home Alabama like they made it
all summer long.
It's like it's like, well, I just want to go home to my like kid. Like, I just want to see my wife and kid. Just please and thank you.
Dude, I'll help you do whatever you want.
Yeah,
like, I'll help you. I just want to get off this plane.
I'm not really into like killing people, so I'll just, you know, I don't really want to do any of that.
I'll kill the guy that's trying to rape the guard.
Yeah,
I'll do that.
I'll get rid of him, but that's about it.
Because, well, neither of us like that guy.
Yeah, nobody likes him.
Nobody likes that dude.
Is it okay to laugh at the slap while they're singing Sweet Home Alabama?
What,
like, he Cyrus wants to punch like the prisoner that's wearing the dress.
Oh, Sally can't dance
instead,
or whatnot.
But instead he slaps and he goes, ah, like, is it okay to laugh at that?
I think so.
Okay. Because it was out loud. I was like, oh God, that's hilarious.
I
laughed out loud.
They treat her like a woman.
Yeah.
It was like pretty progressive.
Yes,
they say the pronouns.
Like it was.
They say the pronouns, I think.
Yeah.
They're good with that.
So,
awesome.
So I thought it was funny. We're going to cut this whole thing out.
Okay. I didn't want to get hit.
Comments.
I hate you guys.
Social commentary.
No, it was progressive, I thought.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
I thought it was for the time.
And I just didn't want Sweet Home Alabama playing. I thought that was the worst part of the scene.
Yeah, we don't never need that song ever again.
No one ever needs
anywhere.
That.
Anyway,
no.
I think it's pretty much played out, kind of like every Aerosmith song. done with it. But yeah, he takes over the plane here, and it's kind of like we're the only time that Cyrus is kind of bested. Like you don't really see him until we start land again.
Yes,
which is kind of weird. But I do like this whole crash scene. Can we talk about this crashing into Las Vegas? These were all mostly miniatures.
Really?
Like this, they created the whole strip as just like a miniature thing, and they had like a fake plane, like a little construction plane. Yeah, sorry, a miniature plane, and just had like a detachable wing, so when it hit the hard rock thing, it came off like that, which is super cool, and it translates really well on film. All the neon looks great. Mm-hmm. Like I imagine that would be pretty much of a bitch to make out of just nothing.
It makes for great chaos to finish this out, because how else are you going to finish a movie like this? You're not gonna land it somewhere let them shoot it out. You crash it through the entire Vegas Strip, and that's what you do. It just seems like I did get to the point that I'm like, wow, now they're gonna do a car chase. Wow, with a fire truck.
Oh yeah,
right. Was it a fire truck?
Motorcycles, fire trucks,
fire truck, motorcycles. And by the way, Poe, why are you chasing after him? You didn't have to go.
I gotta
chase
see
it.
This through.
Never leave a man behind,
or a female dead. Guard.
Yeah, and never.
We have rules.
Baby O's dead.
Baby O's. He's done.
Like he got
what,
shot.
We're assuming,
right?
Yeah. Like he survives.
Dude, Machete Williamson gets a bad rap in movies in general.
That's very
true. They just make him like very sweaty and dying all the time.
Oh my God, he's always sweaty.
Like, he's just sweating through everything, and
think about that.
Dying all the time.
So yeah, we get the oh, but wait, there's more ending. Kind of like
but
Speed.
Wait,
yeah.
There's more.
I think it's fine. It doesn't really drag on much for me. You know, like it's definitely a thing that where it could have. Like maybe Speed does a little bit, but this definitely doesn't. I really like this kind of
it was
second
just
ending.
Enough.
Yeah,
just enough to where it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, it wasn't like another set piece. It was just kind of another chase.
It would have been a lot more interesting to me if they like went off and John Cusack and everybody's chasing after Cyrus and Nate Dogg, I think is what his name is, or Vin Rames.
Mm-hmm.
They're chasing after him. And then you just see Nick Cage again, hair blowing in the wind. How Do I Live Without You starts playing. Hello, baby doll. And like he could just have his moment with his family and not try to catch anybody.
In the background, you hear.
Yeah. Let's all go home.
It's beautiful. I love it. But that's the thing I don't necessarily like about this movie is that plot point of the like him. The most important thing to him is his wife and kid. But we gotta. I gotta do this.
Yep.
It's like you don't.
Stop.
You don't have to do this.
Stop saying you have to do shit. You don't have anything to do.
The older I get, the more I realize I don't have to fucking do anything that helps anyone else out other than my family.
No,
like you don't have to. Sean, it is funny though. You're talking about the landing. Like my note is basically like, this is so bad. Did this ever hold up? even when the film, like, it's a little, I don't hate the action of it, but some of the, like, some of the models to me were like,
a little wonky.
Yeah, a little wonky. And the one that, well, then you got to talk about the propeller, the audacity, audacity
goes
of
right
a propeller.
Because,
of course, it would keep spinning through the fuselage
and back out again. Fuck yeah.
That's how it goes.
Everyone knows that's what happens. But another. But
if their eyes weren't looking at that propeller, they wouldn't be able to hear it. We know that for a fact.
Of course.
Yeah.
They didn't know because they couldn't hear it because they weren't looking.
Exactly.
Right.
Fuck. But also, if you know anything about Las Vegas, where they're coming into Las Vegas, in fact, if they just took like a slight left, the airport runway is right there. McCarran Airport, like, instead of landing on the strip, I'm talking this, like, plane from here to there, and you are in the exact same location. The airport is right next to
the strip. It's hard to see the bright lights of an airport with the bright lights of Las Vegas.
It's very true.
Of Dodge Street. What is it? I don't even
It's just the Bourbon strip. The strip.
Fremont down there. Fremont, and then there's the old strip. And then there's the strip.
I think it's time for us to go to Vegas and
do a
show.
They went to Fremont. There was the whole Hoover.
There was. There was just everything. Yeah. They made it all over Vegas.
I want to make a point to say that John Cusack and Cole Meany make up after everything is said and done.
Yeah.
I didn't really like that car anyways. It's kind of a funny little interaction.
It was a lot of money.
It cost me a lot of money, but that's fine. I mean, we're alive.
Okay, so here we go. Garland escaped.
Oh,
he went to LA and befriended a crazy, selfish Vietnam vet and a good for nothing, but who happens to have a rug that really ties the room together and joins their bowling team. Also, it's not like cool that the serial killer is like has a great ending. It's not like fun and cool.
Hey,
but wait a minute.
You know what he ended up doing? You know what he found? Mai Tais and Yahtzee.
Yes, he did.
Fuck, dude. Remember, we said a theory being fucking serial killer.
Yeah.
That is fucking awesome.
Should I say it better for a TikTok?
No.
I'm kidding.
No, you shouldn't at all. That is fucking gospel.
This is where Big Lebowski takes over. Because when we see him at the crab table, he looks normal. Like, he's like not crazy-fied at all anymore.
And they think he died. They think he probably died in the crash or something like that.
He gets this other kind of persona. He just kind of quiets down and befriends this Vietnam vet and this bowler guy and joins their bowling team.
He didn't have to go far, but he's hung out in Vegas for a little bit, and then he just made his way to L.A.
Yeah,
just
L.A.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
I love that. I do just want to say that when I heard it, it was the most pointless, ridiculous, stupid thing to say. Well, it's not all Mai Tais and Yahtzee out here, baby-o, but let's do this. Absolutely pointless. And then we see Steve Buscemi literally with a Mai Tai rolling dice at the craps table. That's what you want to tie it back to?
Yes.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
I was going to give it a 10, but not anymore.
Not anymore.
I'd like the cast of characters ending, like Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
I love it.
The smiling ending, too.
Yes, yeah. I love it. But yeah, that's it for me.
No, I think we did it. I think we dissected it scene by scene. So we got to give it a modern day rating. Sean, we're going to start with you, man. What do you think about this movie after critically watching and reviewing? What do you got to say?
This movie's a goddamn blast, man. I don't know. There's no other way to say it. The cast is incredible. I love the plot outline. Like we were saying in Gone in 60 Seconds, it could have gotten convoluted again, especially with, you know, basically just being a studio production, not even just like an idea from somebody and then directing it. I think it's very cohesive. I love all the set pieces. I love that it's you're rooting kind of rooting for the bad guys, or you have to at this point.
That's all we got.
I think Nick Cage is a great badass in this movie, and I'm sad to see him go for now. He will be back obviously in future movies, but for Con Air, I am going to give an 8.2. I think it's a fucking blast.
8.2. AJ, what about you, man?
I'm so torn on this because there are moments that you just get pulled out of this movie, I think, and it There's just little times that you just feel like things are out of place, even though they shouldn't be. Like Nicolas Cage's accent, Sweet Home Alabama, like getting played and them dancing on a plane, you know, and doing that. Steve Buscemi, as much as I love him, and I actually enjoy his presence in this movie. I really do. I don't know if I could really say anything like bad about that. I love the cast. It's obvious. I mean, how do you not love this cast? So that all being said, there are moments of just absolute ridiculousness. I don't know how many times they've got to make John Cusack stand in front of a green screen to dodge doors and bullshit an throwing explosion, at him.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That all being said, I enjoy the movie. It's not my favorite Nicolas Cage outing. I'm going to give this a 6.8.
That's for Firebirds. Have you seen Firebirds?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God. We have to do Firebirds. We have to. Nicolas Cage in his prime. Anyway, yeah, you nailed it. Like there are some unbelievable moments where I'm pissed at myself for having not seen this up until now. But then there's some moments where I think the fact that I have not seen it allows me to look at this from more of a like, dude, like, I don't have the nostalgic of like, oh, dude, we used to always watch this movie. It's just like, oh, fuck. This movie, this has got some bad things in it and some bad moments. But the cast is incredible. Script is okay. There's some ups and downs. Some moments I'm just like, yeah, come on. You know, like, whatever. So I'm going to call, what did you call it, AJ?
I said 6.8.
6.8. I'm actually going to be about a 6.4.
Okay.
But I am definitely coming up from Gone in 60 Seconds and definitely higher than Bad Boys if we're looking at the whole month. So that's going to make us a 7.13 for a group rating, which is not too bad. That's going to take us better than Fast and the Furious, better than Wayne's World, better than Austin Powers, slightly worse than Hook, slightly worse than Spaceballs.
Oh, man.
Right in the middle. It's like it's 0.01 less than Spaceballs is how we feel about this.
I wanted this to be
Spaceballs
higher.
Is a better movie.
I agree.
I wanted this to be higher than Hook. That's what I wanted.
Mm.
Spaceballs it's damn close. It's damn close. Predator 7.25 is better than this movie.
Okay.
Yeah. How you feel about that?
That's fair.
Well, that ends the beautiful, fabulous May of Bay Uncaged. We hope you enjoyed it. We love doing themes like this.
Let us know what you thought about this, because we definitely want to do it again. There's definitely more Bay movies. There's definitely more Cage movies.
Yeah, do we do this again next May? I feel like we do.
Or do we just combine it all and just do Bruckheimer May BR?
Yeah.
Yeah. We appreciate you being here. Next week, we have a Patreon directly voted on movie, which you can be a part of if you get in the Patreon. We're doing Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
Followed by The Fugitive.
My God.
It's going to be awesome. We're not letting up.
Stay tuned in.
We are not letting up. And if you're new to the podcast, go back this time last year. We were doing mini bites pretty consistently at that point. We did the best toys of the 80s and 90s. Mm. Those are fun little episodes. If you've ever skipped those mini bites, it's not a movie, just go listen to them. They're fun, short-form conversations that you can have a lot of fun with.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And don't forget, we have a voicemail. Call us at 319-804-9596. Leave us some feedback like today's caller.
I just listened to your podcast of Armageddon, the whole May of Bay. Genius. And including Nick Cage, genius plus. Good on you. One of you said that you guys watch movies about 5 times for research for the podcast. The drillers and the astronauts are not the true heroes. You are, especially when you have to sit through such masterpieces of Super Mario Bros. And of that caliber. So I just want to say you guys are awesome. I love what you do. Keep on doing what you do. And I don't know if you guys cover this or not. How about the slapstick comedies like Airplane, The Naked Guns?
Mm-hmm.
They don't make comedies like that.
You're right.
If you hear meowing in the background, that is my cat. Black cats for life. You guys are awesome. Peace out. Hello, gentlemen. This is a humbling voicemail. I am sorry for my last voicemail of my sign-off. I said peace out. I don't think I've ever said that in my life. I will sign off proper this time. You guys are awesome. Thank you for what you do.
I had to include it. That's so funny to me that he called back to be like, listen, I've been thinking about this for like an hour. I've never said that in my life.
When it came out, I just felt it stunk. I could smell it.
Just hung up. I didn't know what to do.
I could smell my breath when I said it. I didn't like it when I did that.
You are definitely right. We are going to be doing those slapstick movies like Airplane and any Leslie Nielsen kind of thing. I am a sucker for. We will be doing those.
Yeah. Leslie Nielsen, Zucker Brothers, like all that good stuff. I can't wait. I've been wanting to do Hot Shots for I don't know how long. Mm-hmm. We'll get there for sure. Guys, thank you so much for listening to this show. We really do appreciate it. Make sure you're checking us out on the YouTube so you can hang out with us in person in our basement here. And make sure you're finding us on social media at Confused Breakfast. Anywhere on social media, just search for Confused Breakfast. And by all means, give us a 5-star review. Give us a review. Write us a review on Apple Podcasts. Give us that 5 stars on Spotify. Do it.
Go to ConfusedBreakfast.com and get some of our merch. You can get some shirts with our logos on it. You can get some sweatshirts, I think. You can get some hats. You can get some koosies as well.
Steve koosies.
I think you get some great lenticular pottery there. I think you get some nice Tupperware.
Succulents?
Yeah, succulents. I think you can get some succulents with our logo on it, like right on the leaves. Go to ConfusedBreakfast.com as well to see our ratings of the movies that we have done. You can see our individual ratings as well as our show ratings. Goodbye. I love you. I love Nick Cage and Michael Bay.
Support our sponsors. Go check out all the links of any sponsors that ever graciously support this podcast. And support us directly. Patreon.com/ConfusedBreakfast. Get all kinds of perks there. We are produced by the Upload Media Group in Cedar Rapids. We got Craig on the controls.
Gregor Studio.
We are part of the Cloud 10 iHeart Podcast Network. And learn more at cloud10.fm. That's it for us.
May of Bay, uncaged.
May of Bay, caged.
It's now
back
caged.
In its caged.